Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mintel, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and as always, we're glad you've joined us.
Well, we have a great show today that was prompted by an article that you read in The Atlantic, and this may be content you don't want your children to listen to, so we're warning you now. The article, Dr. Linda, was entitled, Why Happy Couples Cheat, and the subtitle was, A good marriage is no guarantee against infidelity.
And that's one of the reasons, Chris, we don't maybe want young ears to hear this, because we don't want to get people, kids afraid of maybe thinking that, you know, something could happen in their parents' marriage. But it's such an important topic. Infidelity is such a destructive force in a marriage. And the number of times I've heard, well, I love my husband or I love my wife. We're really good friends, but I'm having an affair. Now, does that surprise you?
It does. That statement would be so painful if one partner heard the other partner say that.
Right. That's because having an affair is a violation of trust. It's a betrayal that can shatter a marriage. And when it happens, it's a shock that can make you question everything. You question your partner, you question yourself, and you might even question God in that process.
And the thing is, if you ask an audience, how many people know someone who has had an affair? A parent, a sibling, a friend, a coworker, the hands will go up.
And unfortunately, it happens all too often, just like that, Chris. If you ask around, just ask a friend. Do you know anybody? Of course, they're going to say yes. And the devastating consequences that are involved don't seem to stop us from doing this. But we want to get at the heart of why this is in today's show, and we want to offer some help as well.
One of the interesting points in the Atlantic article was that affairs today are not necessarily the way they were in our parents' day. It's less about the economics of couples staying together for finances and family, and it's more about wanting to be loved and desired.
So it's interesting because from all our moving away from traditional values and traditional ways of looking at marriage and family, when it comes down to it, at our core, we still want stability. We want the traditional things like security, predictability, dependability. But now it seems like we've kind of added this other layer onto this, which is we want adventure, we want risk, we want novelty. It's sort of like edgy competes with comfort or familiarity with new and novel. It's like our expectations have changed and they might be unrealistic as to what the other person is supposed to do for us. It's all about our personal fulfillment. This has become the most popular thing in our culture today.
And although it's still hurtful, infidelity seems to be much more tolerated. Estimates say it impacts anywhere from 29 to 75% of people.
Well, that's a big range.
It is a lot.
30 to 75.
And we see it all over the media. The message is, go out there and have some fun. The thing is, we don't see the consequences of the fun.
And we don't see the stigma really attached to it anymore. I think despite this, it's not more emotionally tolerated. So you can say, oh, it's no big deal. People are hooking up. But when it comes down to it, on an emotional level, it's still a massive betrayal with serious consequences, despite what you see in the media. People lose their relationships because of affairs. It's not this casual thing that is being portrayed. And people just don't cope well with affairs, and rightfully so, right?
Right.
It's not a casual thing, and hookups and these relationships that we're seeing have serious consequences.
And for people of faith, we need to point out that an affair is not part of a covenant relationship, and the vows we take are for fidelity. So something shifts in a person of faith who finds themselves cheating, even in a good marriage.
And cultural changes have really challenged that idea of covenant you just brought up. It's not really the basis of marriage in the cultural sense. It's more about a contract. If you break the contract, you get out of the marriage. But the number of couples that we're seeing that are cohabitating, hooking up, breaking up, you don't have to save yourself for that special person anymore. In fact, sometimes that's even mocked. Those have become common. So we're in a point in our culture where there's really not a cultural message to rein in your feelings of sexuality. You know, this was really clear. I know you make fun of me because I've seen The Bachelor TV show. But one of the bachelors that was featured in that was a virgin. And he was positioned as a real novelty in the culture because he was a virgin. It was so interesting because I watched it because I was kind of fascinated with the whole idea. How would they portray this guy? And several of the women made fun of him because of his virginity. Many of them just couldn't believe it. He was this really good-looking guy, and they were like, how could this be? The whole season was built around how ridiculous it was for him to be a virgin. And it was all based on, we're going to do something to make him lose his virginity, rather than seeing him as a prize that could be won by someone through marriage.
That's right. And it hasn't been that long ago that cheating was looked at as wrong. You know, I know a family that in the 60s, the couple was divorced, and it was a thing to be kept quiet. It was a secret. You know, Dr. Linda, even though cheating is rampant, people still say it's wrong. In fact, when someone cheats, people say, what is wrong with you?
That's right. So I believe that's because fundamentally, people just don't want to share someone with another person. We're not wired to do that. Mm. It's emotionally so difficult and it's so hurtful that we know in our hearts it's wrong.
I think most of us probably believe that cheating only happens in bad marriages. And I was surprised to read that good marriages can also experience cheating. And most people think that affairs are about good relationships that have gone bad.
So, you know, sometimes that is the case. The relationship is bad. There are major problems going on. There could be neglect, abuse, rejection, addiction, a lot of things that cause tremendous problems in marriages. But it's the marriages that don't have those issues that really seem to throw us. And so that's the point of our program today. Why do happy people cheat? That's the question that we're going to answer in the rest of the show. So to better understand this, we need to think about how an affair is a self-seeking act. The person tries to reconnect with a part of themselves. They feel that maybe there's something lost or they've never developed a part of themselves. Then you pair that with a feeling of entitlement that I think is really rampant and promoted in our culture of love. I have to have love. I have to have passion. I deserve this. I need this. And when the marriage doesn't deliver exactly what that person thinks he needs or she needs, they begin to think of other people and they think, somebody else might fulfill that missing piece of me.
So what you're saying is that our mindset has shifted from accepting the realities of marriage to having these feelings of entitlement, like you said, or just for something else.
Yeah, and I think it's because I have seen really caring, dedicated partners just cross a line that they never thought they would. And when you get into their thinking, and you get to the root of this, it's that they're wanting to find something in themselves that is missing. And they have these mistaken ideas about how that's going to happen. They think that they're going to find it from someone else. So they're longing for something, Chris, that's bigger than them, something that's going to give meaning to their life. And I would say they're longing for something spiritual. I think that's a part of this void too. But they're looking for it and they think, oh, this other person is going to give that to me.
So with this longing, there's really a lot on the line.
I know. So in this day and age, when some people feel that an affair is liberating, empowering, I can't tell you the number of articles I read about that, where people were saying, affairs are about liberating yourself. They're about empowering yourself, even though it's causing this tremendous agonizing for the other person. But it's all about them. And it's buying that cultural lie that this is somehow empowering me. It makes the person feel alive, or maybe it makes them feel alive for the first time because they're struggling so much with their own identity. So the lie is that this newfound passion with somebody else is really going to bring them alive and empower them in some way.
We've talked on the show before about how passion doesn't necessarily last forever in a committed relationship. It eventually goes from a fire to an ember, and it can be reignited by things that a couple does. Do people have unrealistic ideas about passion?
Isn't that one of the reasons we did that show? Because we were really trying to help couples understand that you don't have this high passion through long committed relationships. And yet people are told that they need to have that all the time. So yeah, it's not a daily experience and we should not expect it to be. So thinking that you deserve passion all the time and that you're missing something if you don't feel that is very self-serving.
Now, obviously, we're not condoning affairs for any reason, but you're saying this is what research bears out and what people say in the confines of therapy.
Right. So the affair becomes a form of self-discovery, and that's where the empowering part of this comes in and the liberating part of this comes in from the secular press. It's not about their husband or wife. It's not about the relationship. It's about that one person who is trying to find themselves in an affair with somebody else. The person begins to think that somehow this adventure with an affair will bring something new, something exciting to their life. It's going to fill some internal void. And of course, we know that it doesn't ultimately work. But But this is the thinking, Chris, of somebody who is in a happy relationship and is going out looking for something else. So the idea here is that there's something internal going on with that person, and they're looking in the wrong place to fill that void.
Well, it's a complicated topic for sure. And hang on, as we are just getting started on this important conversation about why happy people cheat. More after the break.
Social media can be a real source of jealousy in our culture. It's so easy to be envious of a friend's fitness progress, a family member's new car, or a colleague's promotion. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mintel, the relationship doctor, and I know I'm not the only one who plays the comparison game on social media. But if our self-worth is measured in the number of hearts our Instagram gets, we're missing the point, big time. Instead of obsessing over the number of thumbs up you get, ask yourself, are my actions worthy of a thumbs up from God? I promise you, He doesn't care what your outfit of the day is, or if you're drinking your first Starbucks red cup of the season. God already gave you a double tap when He knit you in your mother's womb. And the only filter we need is Christ Himself, who erases our imperfections and makes us holy. Having lots of followers is great, but remember, God asked us to follow Him first. And you can tweet that.
This is the Dr. Linda Mintel Show, and if you're just joining us today, this topic may be a little bit sensitive for younger ears, so keep that in mind as we continue with the program. Today's topic is why happy people cheat, and we've got a lot more to talk about, but before we move on, I want to remind you to check out Dr. Linda's website, drlindamintel.com. There you will find her blogs, books, and you can connect on social media. One of her books, I Married You, Not Your Family, deals with infidelity and how to recover from it. Also remember, an easy way to know what Dr. Linda is writing about each day is to follow her on Twitter at Dr. Linda Mintel or on Facebook. And you can listen to our podcast on iTunes as well. So Dr. Linda, the myth is that all affairs are about unhappy marriages or unhealthy people. But in fact, an affair can be about someone thinking he or she needs to find excitement or come alive again instead of figuring out how to work on their current relationship.
Yeah, so the idea that you can find that part of yourself within your relationship rather than looking outside of it is really the meat of that. And not all people who are having affairs are escaping these miserable marriages, and that's one of the reasons why it's so tough for someone to understand when this happens. You know, people might have a good sort of stable life at home, but I was thinking about this, Chris, in terms of the Garden of Eden. And I was thinking about Adam and Eve, and it must have been fantastic in that garden, right? She had the perfect husband.
Yeah.
The only husband, right? The perfect one. But here she was in the garden. Even she sinned. She made a choice to give in to temptation and bought the lie that there was something better yet that she had to experience.
Well, and no matter the reason, the person on the other end of betrayal sees it as cruel, selfish, dishonest, and even abusive. Isn't it all of those things? I mean, we're not condoning an affair as an antidote to feeling restless.
And I think that's the difference in the secular world, is that, you know, there's some justification of this because it's finding yourself, it's empowering yourself, it's liberating yourself from whatever it is you're struggling with. And we're saying, no, it's a deception, that the person having the affair is deceived to think that somehow this is adding to their life. And that's why they often say, it has nothing to do with my marriage. It's more about the person they have become or haven't figured out yet who they are. One who doesn't know who she is or is looking for something, and they're looking at another person. So think about it. Lots of couples have issues, but those issues don't necessarily lead to affairs.
So this is about a crisis of identity with a bad solution. Say more about that.
Yeah, I've heard people say things like, I always followed the rules. I did the right things. I never tested the waters. Now in my marriage, I'm thinking, I need a little adolescent rebellion. And I don't think this is a rationalization. I think it's a deception that somehow an affair with somebody outside the relationship is going to help them with whatever it is they're struggling with internally.
A lot on the line there, like we said earlier, putting a lot of weight on this identity crisis that you're having with yourself. It's really deceptive because in an affair, you don't have the problems of everyday life. It's more like being in an alternative universe.
Yeah, it really is. And that's such an important point, because you really do have to dissociate yourself from your everyday life in order to betray somebody that you love. Especially, we're talking about in happy relationships, right? You love that person. You have to dissociate. You're creating an alternative reality that doesn't include the person you love. And this is really dangerous. And it allows the secrecy and doing things that are hidden. And so let's just think about that a moment. Let's just park on that idea. That's what happens with sin.
That's true. Most of us think that affairs are more about sex than anything else.
Yeah, and that's also a myth. They're less about sex and more about desire. So it can be a desire for attention, a desire to feel special, desire to feel important, actually a desire to be desired.
Wow. And I know you always take us back to the spiritual root of the problem. That sounds like a place that God could fill.
Yes, and we're created with a desire for God that often gets misplaced. Our culture looks less and less at spiritual solutions, don't you think, for all our problems? So we have a lot of desire problems that are really focused, if we look at it really at the root, it might be a desire for God because we're designed that way. But our culture doesn't focus on God's solutions. You don't hear it much in the culture. Do you ever hear that? Listen, one of the ways that you could stave off an affair is to get your desire with God right. I mean, the churches should be saying that.
Yes.
We should be giving that message to people. This is why I say that affairs go hand in hand from distancing ourselves from God and that lack of intimacy. So while the relationship might be somewhat happy and okay, usually the person that's having the affair is distancing themselves from God. They have to do that in order to continue to do something they know is wrong.
So when people have affairs, the secrecy, the unpredictable meetings, the weeks without seeing each other, all speaks to that desire.
It makes that person feel alive for the moment, like they can reinvent themselves. But of course, we know it's not real because it's like you said, it's sort of like an alternative universe that they're living in. It doesn't work. It's the forbidden fruit, though, in the garden. It's what's unattainable that's desired. It's the same thing the enemy used to entice Adam and Eve. That elusiveness, the ambiguity that is part of the affair would never work in a real day-to-day relationship. So it's all about the anticipation. And think of this. When Eve was tempted by the serpent, Genesis 3 says, she saw the fruit was good, it was pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for wisdom. So desiring was part of her temptation.
Affairs become sort of a what you can't have, you want. It brings mystery that's not found in committed long-term relationships. It sounds like a teenager to me.
Yeah, the rebellion that teenagers go through. You could really say that. And this is why cheating people often choose people they would never have as life partners. It makes it just less real. So there have been a number of people in therapy I've talked to, and when you ask them like who they're cheating with, and this is what really throws the partner that is being betrayed. They're like, I found out who that person was. I can't believe that, you know, my spouse chose somebody like that. But that's part of it. It's tempting fruit, but it's not real life. And when the divorce comes, usually what happens is the lover loses his or her mystery, and the person realizes, boy, this is somebody I really don't want to be with long term. We always think it's, well, they somehow that person is more attractive, or that person has characteristics. It's more about this forbidden fruit idea that we're talking about.
Is this curiosity or rebellion one of the reasons people reconnect with those from their past, like people who may have excited them? This person's thinking, I wonder if she is as cute as I remember, or I wonder if he or she ever got married. Is this beginning to taste that forbidden fruit?
Don't you think that's what happens with social media?
Definitely.
Yeah, I think this is why Facebook, you know, it starts with a kind of an innocent, I'm curious, like you just said, I'm wondering. Then they add the person as a friend. And then that relationship does become forbidden fruit. It becomes a little fun. You're kind of teasing like maybe you used to do back in high school or college or something. And before you know it, the spouse can have a secret lover on Facebook. And that is betrayal as well. I want to say that, Chris. That is betrayal. If you're saying things to somebody on Facebook that you would never say in front of your spouse, that's an emotional affair, and that is betrayal. What it does is it takes the flickering of an old flame and it sort of makes it burn again. Remember that saying, curiosity killed the cat?
It's true.
It's true.
Yeah. And like you said before, it involves risk-taking, being vulnerable, and here's the kicker, the intrigue. And boy, does social media make that easy.
In essence, it's all about bucking the rules. And again, exercising our freedom at the expense of other people. It's the essence of self over others. And it's reckless. It's the ultimate saying that, hey, the rules don't apply to me.
Why do you think that people just can't find this excitement and vitality in their own marriages?
I think because marriages represent real life. You know, you're the one that's taking your spouse to the hospital. You're the one who has to talk to your spouse about a will, about your children. And affairs are escape and avoidance. And when you aren't in front of your partner, you can pretend. It's sort of like being on the sideline of real life. Again, creating your own world. And it's kind of like you're an avatar in that world.
That is bizarre, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need to take a short break, but we'll keep the conversation going and answer the question, do affairs destroy marriages?
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mintel, and I wrote the book We Need to Talk in order to help all of us deal better with conflict.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show, and Dr. Linda has written numerous books that you can find on her website and online. And one that is helpful for today's topic is I Married You, Not Your Family. Dr. Linda, you have a chapter in that book on infidelity and making repairs to the relationship that speaks to today's topic. And to find that book, go to drlindamental.com. You can also follow Dr. Linda on Twitter at Dr. Linda Mintel, Instagram, and on Facebook. And remember, you can listen to the show and past shows on our podcast on iTunes. Just search under Dr. Linda Mintel's name. Dr. Linda, an important question is one that you cover in your book, I Married You, Not Your Family. Is it a myth that infidelity will destroy a marriage? Couples can recover and come out stronger, right?
And that's the good news. So it can destroy a marriage because it's such a betrayal that's very difficult for people to work through. But for all couples, no matter the cause of the affair, it is a crisis, and that crisis has to be worked through in order for things to have the possibility of getting better and the opportunity to fix it. In fact, and I think this is encouraging, Chris, that most couples do stay together after an affair, even in the secular world. And I don't know if that's because people begin to realize what they're losing. And once the novelty of that affair, you know, wears off, they're seeing, there's a lot at stake here. But if the couple can work through the betrayal, the relationship can actually not only stabilize, but it can actually grow.
So how do they do that? I mean, what's the process?
So it begins with confession. That has to happen. And there has to be true repentance. And the person has to ask for forgiveness. And of course, the affair has to end with no contact whatsoever after that point.
Clean break.
That's right.
That might take the help of a therapist.
It might, and it often does, because the partner who is not having the affair is going through such emotional turmoil, and you have to allow that person time to react, time to process, and you have to get to the root of the problem. If you don't do that, there's a chance of that affair repeating.
Well, then the work of repairing and rebuilding begins, if couples are willing to do this. And I would think, Dr. Linda, that through that process, they start to see something in each other that maybe they didn't see before. Then the work of repairing and rebuilding begins if couples are willing to do this.
And I think that's a real important point, if they're willing to do this. If they are, then priorities have to be reorganized, realizing what you have, what you don't want to lose, and how you need to be different in the relationship. Sometimes what can happen is an affair can jolt couples out of complacency. One person might be getting lazy. They might be distancing. They might, you know, they might start to say, hey, what I'm doing here, which is really self-centered, is something that I could really lose big on if I don't correct my own behavior in the process.
The affair means the relationship has to be redefined.
Yes, and it's really hard to trust again, which is why you have to have deep and honest conversations once that forgiveness is given. And I want to point out that that forgiveness is a huge part of people moving forward. And maybe for the first time, the couple is actually talking about what's deep inside of them and what lies and deception that they've really allowed themselves to fall for.
I was telling you during the break that when I was growing up, I witnessed so many of my parents' friends go through divorce. So my parents were in the position to have to sort of deal with this with their friends. How do we support a couple that's going through an affair?
It is a crisis when that affair is revealed, and it's the last thing that you want to do is to shame someone in the middle of a crisis. Or, and this is where it gets really hard, you don't want to take sides.
Right.
So that is tough for people. Instead, you just need to be there for the couple. You need to pray, encourage them to keep doing the hard work of healing, help them accept God's forgiveness, encourage them to ask for forgiveness directly to their partner, encourage them to dig deep into their relationship with God as well. So encourage them in the right direction rather than being the person to maybe sort through the mess with them and take sides.
Are there ways to prevent all of this from happening?
Well, certainly paying attention to how we're feeling in a relationship would be critical. So if you're beginning to have those thoughts, you're thinking, you know, maybe I deserve, you know, more passion, I deserve more love, you need to really pay attention to where that's going. And again, put you right back to chapter 3 in the Bible on Eve's temptation, because this is really not that different in terms of being tempted. But even more important is how you're doing in your intimate relationship with God, because that is the prevention. When you lose intimacy with God and you don't understand your identity in Christ, the temptation towards going towards another person versus God can really grow. The lie becomes, I can get more excitement from someone else.
And once the cheating person realizes that what they are doing is dangerous and should probably stop, should he or she tell their partner? I've heard people say, I can't tell my partner. It would just simply hurt too much.
I know. And there's a lot at stake when you do. And the reason people don't want to tell is because they're afraid the relationship's going to end. And it might. But I don't recommend continuing the deception. So while it might be extremely painful and it might even end a relationship, you just can't rebuild trust that's been lost on dishonesty. So I've seen those types of secrets eat away at people for years. And while it might be hard to hear, the admission is a window into the person's heart.
So couples need to build a fence around their relationship.
I like that, Chris. That's a really good way to put it. And yes, that's why the spiritual dimension of a relationship is critical. There's just too much temptation. There's too much deception if you're not renewing your mind every day, if you're not strengthening your relationship with Christ, because really anybody could fall. And I don't say that to scare people. I just say that because we're all subject to this type of temptation if we don't guard ourselves and have that deep relationship with Christ. So to prevent cheating, stop the self-absorption, re-engage in the reality of what the cheating will do to those you love. So stop dissociating and creating this alternate reality, because eventually you have to come back to your real life. Find your identity in Christ, really grow in that relationship, and grow in that relationship with your partner. You can figure out whatever it is that's bothering you as a person in the context of that marital relationship. The healing, the forgiveness, and the hope in Christ can transform you in ways you might not imagine. Desire, intimacy, and adventure are all a part of the life with Christ and can be part of the life for the Christian couple. Well, that's all the time we have today. Many thanks to our producer, Norm Mintel, our social media directors, Zach and Allison Bolton, our engineer and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.